Good morning. My name is Michael McCusker. So American Memorial Day roll calls from American war cemeteries scattered around the world, an annual springtime ritual of death among renewed life. I start today's program with something I wrote for my deceased newspaper, the Once Upon a Time North Coast Times Eagle. Do dead soldiers have souls? And I start with a couple of quotes. May is the annual National Military Appreciation Month. And with 440,000 plus military now deployed overseas, it has special significance. Public events are scheduled across the country. And that was Parade Magazine. And from Barbara Bush on the program Good Morning America back in 2003. Why should we hear about body bags and deaths? It's not relevant. So why should I waste my beautiful mind on something like that? And that was Barbara Bush, Once Upon a Time First Lady of America. Americans seem to want to make war but not be exposed or responsible for its consequences. Support for the troops is a war cry that enforces their continuance at war rather than returning them home alive, and it serves to disparage their deaths when they return home in flag-draped coffins. Any public display of the coffin is criticized as debasing the honored dead. The Pentagon closed a brief window that allowed a glimpse of coffins of American war dead from Iraq, citing that it was not policy, quote unquote, to permit public display or access to the dead, or for that matter, to the wounded, who streamed back to the USA like spring runoff. The policy, Pentagon spokespeople said, is to respect the privacy of the families of the dead, quote unquote. Yet the real purpose behind this banal sophistry might more truthfully be to protect, as Joyce Maynard wrote, the delicate sensitivities of the ruling class as Americans die to build them an empire, quote unquote. The Pentagon is notorious for dissembling the horrors it perpetrates. Almost from the time the Pentagon was built in 1943, the War Department, MARS, was given a name change as well as a facelift, becoming the Defense Department, MOTHER. And the more disingenuously it acted in the half-century Cold War that immediately succeeded World War II, the more necessary its contradictions required unctuous dissimulation. In recent wars, American war casualty tolls are manipulated to obscure their numbers, while inflated casualty counts of an enemy are increasingly relied upon as the measurement of success. Even the body bags are euphemized. They are referred to as transport containers, quote unquote. Americans should not be allowed to simply view the coffins of their war dead, but compelled to see the blasted, dismembered bodies inside, to witness exactly what we countenance, despite claims of righteousness, when we give free hand to make war. And perhaps it would be even more pertinent for Americans to also see the dead our wars have produced, as Germans were ordered by the Allies to view the masses of dead of liberated death camps at the end of World War II. Unlike the German people, who could claim no political rights or freedoms other than obedience to the state during the Nazi reign, Americans are constitutionally in charge of their government and are responsible for its doings in their name, and are obliged to pressure their leaders rather than be coerced when they start acting Hitler-esque. An essential reason war is universally abhorred and cautiously perpetrated is the rise of mass media that has chronicled low aversion toward warfare by ordinary folk who suffer most from it. History records the lives and affairs of kings and generals, and of course their interminable wars. The hundreds of millions of common people impressed into wars and whose homes, towns, occupations, and lives are decimated by them have been ignored until only recently, and only because early mass media began linking their concerns and pandering them to sell newspapers. The only purpose for armies is the destruction of other human beings. Soldiering is big business, the first order of every empire, as it has been since ancient times. But soldiers themselves are little more than expendable pawns, readily discarded. Without soldiers, there would be no wars, no Caesars, no Napoleons, no Hitlers. Soldiers kill, rape, pillage, burn, and if they are unlucky, stupid, or badly led, they die. Support for the soldiers acts contrarily as a relentless goad that pushes troops into irreversible horror at the same time that cheering war cries crush any who would conscientiously object. The soldiers feel compelled to carry out what they perceive as public mandate, and in the belief that any personal doubts would be met with disapproval, they do their duty at whatever cost. Yet the soldiers we are exhorted to uncritically support can be turned against us, ordered to suppress dissent and round up political activists. In times like these, such repressive use of soldiers could have wide popular support. Quite a few people think dissent is improper once a war is started and refuse to believe it is more necessary than ever. Their point is that dissent succors an enemy and betrays American troops fighting the war. Yet, as realized by the Vietnam War, dissent is the only way to stop questionable wars. Dissenters are not responsible for the misuse of the lives of soldiers. The people who start wars are. The war parties always attempt to capture patriotism as their own and portray dissent against their wars as sedition and disloyalty. But dissent is the true act of patriotism, and a more sensible way to support the troops than dispatching them into horror. America's self-styled war president was essentially a deserter who utilized preferential treatment to stay out of a war he supported but did not feel compelled to serve in. He was a fervent believer in American exceptionalism and vained his discussion of the war on terrorism as a divine mission and the language of righteous empire. He said, "I believe God wants me to be president and that our rights were derived from God." And that was, of course, President Bush the Younger. A true millenarian whose holy grail is to decimate in the name of God other millenarians who are of different cultures, races, and creeds, the current president portrays opponents of his righteous war and his presidency as heretics and traitors to one nation under God. Our ancestors, the traitors who conceived the nation, feared someone like him would rise to power and did what they could to prevent the militant theocracy he espouses with their own secular scent of Ten Commandments, the Bill of Rights, which he, of course, disdains. National Military Appreciation Month is low-scale agitprop that boilerplates the president's militant ministry. Its ironic, yet fittingly tragic finale is commemoration of the heaps of war dead on Memorial Day. And a poem by Larry Kirshner. Memorial Day, a black granite wall to rest against, each name an act calling for a rewrite, 50,000 times rendered under Caesar, 50,000 rendered like hot fat on the stove. This is Michael McCusker. Joanne Rideout is engineer of this program. I continue to miss friends who did not survive the dishonest and disastrous war we fought in, Vietnam, and those who have died in one way or another on through a millennial crossover of human-inspired reckoning of passing time until we, as a generation, are dead and forgotten. Those of us remaining Vietnam vets are just about the last living Americans of the USA's 20th century wars. Survivors of both sides are fortunately bonding, as generally occurs after wars against each other. Humanity certainly did not wait very long into this new millennium to engage in its ardent addiction to warfare. But at least it has not yet unleashed its so-called inventions of doomsday weapons to leave a hole in our solar system in which planet Mother Gaia spins around solar Sol. It is the great mass of ordinary people who will and must prevent world suicide. It must be done by everyone, beginning with each one. Each of us will die, either privately or as part of the extinction of the species, if we do not arrest the dangers of nuclear violence. There are good reasons we must each die, primary among them to make room and leave a few resources for our descendants. What is different now is that we must step outside our small fears and immediate prejudices and ensure a world for our inheritors. There has never been a more personal or more universal struggle in our history.
You've been listening to A Story Told on KMUN, featuring Michael McCusker, journalist, activist, former firefighter, and Vietnam veteran. Michael has been sharing essays and poetry on A Story Told since 1987. For 30 years, he published the North Coast Times-Eagle newspaper out of his home in Astoria, Oregon. Michael currently shares his work and the works of other authors from his home on the Central Oregon coast. Join us here next week for A Story Told.